Is time running out? Is it time? We have just read in Psalm 90, and I want to repeat a few verses there. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, I don't know why Moses had the life expectancy so low, because he lived a lot longer than that. He was 80 years, I think, when he led Israel out into the desert, out of Egypt. But anyway, this is what he writes. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Think of this. You and I one day will fly away. Fly away to the other world. Fly away into eternity. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, we could number our days that we already lived, and we could also try to figure out the average lifespan of each person, and I heard that the life expectancy now in the States has dropped because of the opioid crisis. It's unbelievable how short a lot of lives are because of this horrible drug that they've been taking. But no matter how we calculate it, and maybe you can do a calculation at home this afternoon as a home assignment, what is your life expectancy? Life expectancy for us men is a little shorter than women, because we don't like pain. We can't stand pain. The women are used to pain. So anyway, they live longer. And we can calculate, okay, the average of a male, and then we can number our days. How long will I still live? And then we can ask, what do I want to accomplish if the Lord tarries, and if I make it to there, if I don't get sick and die before that, or I may live longer than that. Some people live in their 90s, and we have a sister in our church. She is 97. She's 97, right? Going on 98. I told her once she needs to get to 100, because then she gets to receive a letter from the prime minister, I think. That's about the centurions. She will become a centurion. But anyway, even if it's that, what is it going to be like between us and God? We want to talk about time. The Bible tells us here that we are cut off. There is a cut-off time. There's a moment where we take our last breath. That's what it means by being cut off. That the time is a measure as a progress of time. The dictionary says that it is the measure of or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. That's time. There are numerous other definitions given as well. In our scripture today, Moses, the man of God, he says 70, 80 years. Don't expect much more. Now, those over 80, I often hear you say, I live on borrowed time. Have you heard that expression? I live on borrowed time. I live beyond the scriptural time. But Moses tells us, for 1,000 years in God's sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So God is not bound to time. He is in eternity. He is the eternal God. He always was. He always will be. Time is but a short dash. But for us, this is so important. Have you ever prayed? I caught myself praying this recently. Lord, I know you have all the time in the world because you're eternal, but I don't have all the time. I need your blessings now. You know what I mean? We need to be blessed now in this time, today. So there's this urgency in us because of time. The great American poet Henry Longfellow once said or wrote this: what is time? The shadow on the dial, the striking of the clock, the running of the sand, day and night, summer and winter, months, years, centuries. These are but arbitrary and outward signs. The measure of time, not time itself. Basically, we can only measure time, but we cannot really explain time itself. Modern day science attempts to define time, sometimes setting time forth as an abstract mathematical formula, sometimes setting forth a dream analysis. Sometimes setting time forth as a fourth dimension added to space, because we want to measure everything. We want to know where we stand. You know, you go to a shopping center or a mall, and then you look at where to go, and the sign says, you are here. And I'm like, how do they know that I'm here? I mean, the sign says, I am here. How do they know I'm here? But anyway, you are here. We are here today, now. That's time. We're in this moment, in this time. God teaches us through his word that every one of us has time, and that time and life are linked together. It's just a matter of time. We're going to die. There was a brother in Christ who went to a clinic. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and so he was going to have a procedure done or a treatment done. I don't know what it was, but anyway, the nurse looked on his chart and she just blurted out, oh, you are terminal. You are terminal. And he smiled at her and says, aren't we all terminal? You and I are terminal. We'll not always be here. Time. Sometimes we say time will tell. We say time flies by so fast. No, time stays. We fly by so fast. That's what the Bible says here. Remember? We fly away. The Bible doesn't say that time flies. We fly away. So time, our life, is filled with fleeting moments. We look forward to a great event in our lives. We look forward to Christmas, to New Year's. And guess what? They pass by so quickly. And then we say, where has time gone? All this stuff that we prepared and all the work we had, and it's all over. Party is over. One time life, if you look at it like a party, it'll be over. There'll be just a memory of us. We want to look at some perspectives concerning time for us. God has given us time. Time means opportunities. God has given us a period to live on this earth. And that period, I would like to call, is a trust that he has given us. Some people say, well, time is money. They'd rather pay a lot of money than spend more time, either on a flight or whatever it is. And they're inventing these new jets that will fly incredibly fast without the sonic boom. They're working on this. I'm observing this when they're supposed to be in a few years, supposed to come out with these jets that can fly you in a few hours to the other continent. So they will save some time. They'll pay money to get there fast. There was a train accident in Washington State recently. I think you may have heard about it. The reason that this accident happened was that they had worked on increasing the speed of the trains to save 10 minutes and up to hopefully 15 minutes on this flight between those two cities. And because the train was not built, the rails and everything was not really up to par for this kind of speed, the train derailed and people died. Because people wanted to save time. You know where we want to save time? It's really interesting. We're very patient when it comes to waiting for the doctor to see the doctor. You know, we're frustrated when I'm frustrated too when my doctor lets me sit there for a whole hour and I see him for 5 minutes. And it's like waste of time. And some businessman has once wrote his doctor a bill and billed him for his time that he sat in his office, says, "You are wasting my time because my time is very important as your time is." Well, you can be mad, you can be frustrated, he'll just give you more pills to take. So you can kill more time. But when it comes to church, we're often very impatient. The service went too long, the preacher was too long, or he was too loud. We get impatient because we think that's a waste of time. Why should I be in prayer meetings? Why? I can be at home and comfortable. I can do with my time what I want, right? But don't you want to spend more time in God's presence? Praying together with others. God has given us time as a trust. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live. He talks about time. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It is important for us as believers to value our time as a trust. And ask God, Lord, how do you want me to spend my time for your glory? And sometimes, you know what God will tell you? Just be still and know that I am God. Because we tend to, everybody has this race against time. Most people, at least. And we would like to accomplish as much as possible with our time. The Bible tells us that you and I need to use time as a trust to bear fruit that honors God. and stressing out over everything and being always in a rush and always in a hurry. Like one little kid once told his parents, "Are we in a hurry again?" Always in a hurry. Always trying to make it somewhere. It's always the last minute. And some of us, we have this tendency. And there's always, I found that in every church and every city and wherever you go, there's someone that's always late for everything. Why is that? Always late. Well, I don't want to waste any time. Once I'm there, it's supposed to be already started and everything, but then they sit in doctor's offices and someone once made a very serious expression, says those who are always late, they may be late for heaven one day. Said, ouch, that's hard to take. But time as a trust. Time is also an opportunity for testing. And this is something we don't like. Often we say time will tell. Time will also test us. And God will test our patience. He will test our endurance. He will test our faith. He will just about test everything about us. He will test our character. And I know he's done that this year with me. And I don't know if I want to teach these lessons on faith again in the Bible course. Last year I tested them. I taught about faith, growing in faith, and being tested in faith. And the Lord had heard me, and he tested me. He's testing me often. But it is a crucial test that I must pass. And sometimes I pray, Lord, I know by now you must be shaking your head up there in heaven on this guy. He just can't get it. And Lord, I admit, I talk to you, I admit, I confess to you, I don't get it. That's you know, you can talk to God like that. Lord, I just don't get it. You know, he's not afraid of that if we say that. Actually, I think he wants us to be honest before him. But it's a test that he takes us through. And we find these tests repeatedly in the Bible where men of God were tested. You know, Abraham, Job, and in the New Testament, even Peter talks about in 2 Peter about the testing of our faith. I don't want to go into many details. But time, both in and of itself, is actually not good or not bad, except as we make it. When the Bible says the times are evil, the days are evil, that means it refers to the actions and attitudes of people. It refers to the sinfulness of this world. But time itself is not evil. It's what we do with it. And that's so important. A trust, time is a test. Time is also an appointment with Jesus, our Savior. And we need to take that opportunity. If we take time in this life, he will help us and be with us for all eternity. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. Listen to how Paul writes about time here. The Lord says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. That means there was a time, and there is a time in each one of our lives where God spoke to us. A moment that you and I knew or know, this is the Lord. He is wooing my heart. He is calling me. And he says, in the acceptable time, I heard you. I heard your cry when you cried out to me for mercy, when you cried out to me for forgiveness of sin. I heard you, he says. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Let's keep that in mind. But then he emphasizes, he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So everyone out there, everyone that we know, those that are not believers yet, today is the best day to come to the Lord. There's no better day promised. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And I praise God for that. And I pray that many souls in the new year will find the Lord, will come to the Lord and be changed and transformed. So God has given each one of us moments of time in which he is present, in which he speaks to us. When was the last time that you prayed, Lord, speak to me? I prayed it last night, and I prayed it this morning. Lord, speak to me. Because we want this time to be valued by spending at least the large part of it in the presence of God. John 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, no one that comes to Christ will miss out. The Father who draws us to Christ, he will give us the meaning and the purpose of life. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So many millions don't believe that. They spend their time in dead religions, in false teachings, in false beliefs, in false philosophies. But the simple answer is, spend your time with the Savior every day. Every day, this connection, this fellowship with the Savior. And the Bible tells us that we have to give an account, and we stand before the throne of God. Not only what we have done in life, what did we do with our time? Sure, we need time to relax. We need time to unwind. We need time for this. We need time for that. And God gives that time. We need time to work on our health. We need time to make sure that we don't stress out, that we can be in this for the long haul. That's very important, because the Bible says that we need to become wise in how we use our time. Revelations 1 verse 8 says, Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. With me, you have your beginning. With me, you conclude your life on earth. And then he says, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Lord Jesus is now the Almighty God. And as time goes on, and we get closer to his coming, we are to lift up our eyes to heaven. We are to lift up our hearts and minds to the Lord and say, Lord, come soon. I am ready. Let's be ready when he comes. Let's not miss out And let's not waste our time or opportunities. It's better to say, instead of saying wasting time, it's better to say, let's not waste opportunities. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." He talks about those that missed the opportunity to make the best of their lives with God, to make peace with Christ, or through Christ with God, and to live a life that pleases the Lord. When Satan tries to bring up past and to bring up guilt and to accuse us, as he is the accuser of the brethren, you and I can stand up to him and say, "No, I will not waste my time in doubt and in despair, but I will live victoriously with God's help, with his grace." May God help us and give us the strength for the new year to really live for him. Because one day, as I said, we fly away. Time stays, we fly away. Time stays until the Lord comes back, and where there will be no more time. But that day may not come in our lifetime. But one day, we will be all with him. And that's my desire and my prayer. Amen.